Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I am Jim Galante. With me, Happy Valley United Executive Director Mike Villagrana. How are we doing, Mike?
Doing great, Jim. Back at it, another week, living in the NIL world space and just trying to keep my head above water.
Well, it's obviously, it's a brand new world. And to work along with that, HVU Insider is one of the things that is helping us navigate this new world. I want you to just give a quick little background and progress. I know we've talked about HVU Insider now for a few weeks. We've had some of the events. We had another one last week, again, at Pine Grove Hall. It was fantastic. A lot of fun again. How about just a quick update on where you are? I know it's like constantly new stuff going on.
Yeah, I mean, it continues to grow. It's been fun. You know, we're starting to add a lot of different things on there, the different arms that we wanted to, see this platform kind of take on. And some of that stuff is just like the scouting part. And I think we'll continue to have that, but going on there, it's gamified. So it has like the XP points, so you can get different things, different entries for the sweepstakes. The sweepstakes is a real big driver for this platform because we always will have them, right? With the access that we have, we want to be able to use that to give the opportunity to some fans for some fan experiences, just like we did for the blue-white game, which was cool. You know, we did for Pro Day. And now we have a smaller one, not a smaller one, but we have a couple tickets for the Philly event going on. So we have sweepstakes going on right now. I think there's like over 10,000 entries for that. Really cool event. But stuff like that is great. And guys like yourself, people like Chris Buchanani and Landon Tangwell, like those guys, we want to be able to have it as a hub to have some of that content there. So everybody, it continues to grow. It's really fun as far as right now. There's a lot of things that when you're building a platform, you don't really think about until you really get into it, I guess, because there's just so many things. Like, you know, everybody has a camera in front of them now, and everybody thinks it's pretty like easy just to, you know, throw up a pod or, you know, create a business out of that. It's just so much more complicated than I originally thought. And it's been fun learning this, you know, because I've been in the recruiting world specifically. So seeing this whole side of sports and business is really cool. And especially at a time like right now, it's pretty fun to capitalize on this platform with NIL and we're doing well in this first cycle with Coach Campbell and recruiting. So it's cool. It's going to be fun to see where it goes from here.
By the way, I am a bit familiar with putting together a platform and doing podcasting and making businesses out of it. So been doing it for a little while here.
Yeah, that's why it's cool getting around you and Chris Buchanani, seeing like all the stuff that like Landon's been doing. Like it's really neat. It's really cool. You know, I was around Hack a lot last year and State Media and those guys, what they do. It's really neat.
Well, it's great to be a part of it. And I think that, to me as a fan also, the content part of this, where there's your input, the forums for fans to react to it, get information about the players, interviews with the players, that type of thing. It's a great resource to get to it. And, you know, one part of it that you and I and Chris Buchanani are part of is these events we're now holding at Pine Grove Hall. We had another one last week with another set of players, fantastic players, a lot of fun. And it's interesting because we have this conversation after every one of those events. The quotes that we get from the players or the just some insights into their life that I'm not sure that you get anywhere else. And I'll tell you what, from last week, my favorite quote was from Babu when he talked about getting a tackle for loss in the pinstripe bowl. And he made reference to, it's always a lot more fun to be the hammer than the nail.
Yeah. And that's a kind of a quote going around in the building too. You'll hear, we actually posted on HV Insider, a little article about that. It's funny you brought that up, but yeah. And it was just neat to hear him say, yeah, that's, you know, that's when he felt like, yeah, he belongs there when he made that play. So yeah, that insight, that type of, information that you get from these players is really cool, especially to be there. And the space is intimate, right? And I mean that because it's smaller. It's not like a huge like conference room or anything like that. So it's really neat.
And it's also the furthest thing from a conference room in the feel of the place. It's intimate, has a nice bar there, nice drinks, nice menu, and it's very conducive to chatting with the players. That type of thing. And I do mention that also because we've got another one of these events coming up. If you're in the State College area, that is going to be Wednesday of this week, right? May 6th?
Yep. May 6th. And then we'll have, you know, a little just mingling. We'll be hanging out there around 6:30. And then those guys will get there and you'll be able to take pictures, shake their hand, talk to them. And then you guys we'll do about 15 minutes interviews with those guys, and it's awesome. It's just really cool, laid back. Like I said, you guys do a great job getting the personality to come out of these guys, and it feels very organic and relaxed, which is how I like it.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. And it's been, and I think I told you this, Mike, we've now done three of these with three players at each one of the events. And I will say, we're 9 for 9 with these. Each one has been a hit. I've enjoyed each one of these players. Not just nice kids, but they're fun interviews. I think they get the spirit of the event, what the intent is, that this is not high pressure. This is low key. This is something to have fun with. And I think the folks who attend it, they get that feel also because the players are so relaxed. And it's just an atmosphere very conducive for a fun conversation.
Yeah, that's really cool. And just Pine Grove, that area, you don't hear people talk about Pine Grove a lot. It's just like this little area just right outside State College, and just really cool, neat little town. I encourage people to come there. There's parking, there's overflow parking right next to the other restaurant that they own, right next to the Pine Grove Hall. So yeah, 6:30, be there.
Yeah, come on out. Would love to talk to you, not just get a chance to talk to the players. You get to talk to Mike also. He's always there. He's there ahead of time. He's there afterwards. And you know what? I'll bet you he'll share a beer with you also. I've learned that from experience.
Yeah, right after the show, it's nice to just chalk it up, talk about the show. It's good. And usually there's some people there that I haven't met that just want to talk Penn State football.
Well, we are there for that. All right, let's move on a little bit. It is kind of a interesting time right now for the team. Spring practice is over. So what is the mode now for the coaching staff, the players? So like for the coaches, what's the schedule for recruiting? Are they in a down period now? Can they go out and visit? I never understand the schedule and what time you're allowed to do what.
Yeah, it's been changing the past couple of years from the window, what the recruiting window was. The dates really haven't changed when it comes to the recruiting window. What you can and can't do has changed. I think it used to be 168 evaluations you were able to have during this time period, which is April 15th to, I think, May 31st. So 168 evaluations, say a coach goes out on the road to go visit a recruit that one day, that counts as an evaluation day. So you have, your 10 full-time assistant coaches out on the road, and those guys usually – they got to divide that 168, or I forget what it is now. It's like 144 or something like that. They got to divide that up. And it's a really tricky game because there's a lot of strategy behind it, because you want your best recruiters out on the road And now you're having a lot of front office people out on the road too. So like what the last regime did was the offensive coordinators or the coordinators in general didn't go on the road, right? They stayed in the office spring. And so you're seeing a lot of that. Not every school follows that, but so they're going to be on the road. This is a really important time because of the way that the recruiting cycle has moved up and decisions are made even earlier, right? So you're trying to lock in all the official visits right now when you're going on these visits, and you're trying to get ahead of the game on the 28 class and the 29 class too, right? Because pretty much the 27 class, you know who you want. So we're going, the coaches are going to go out there, secure those commitments that we've already got. We'll make sure they go visit them and make them feel good. And then the other guys that are top targets for the 27 class. And then within that, they'll try to go see the 28s and the 29 top guys in those areas. But it's really more position specific recruiting now versus it was a lot of area political stuff that you have to do during this time. You know, you go into maybe a Harrisburg area, you spend 2 days there, knock out as many schools as you can, regardless if they have a player or not. That's your area, so you just want to make sure you have good relationships in there. So when a player does come through one of those schools, you know, you have your foot in the door. But it's different now because it's less evaluation days, and it's more important to really kind of focus on the top guys and not just go do kind of a handshake here and there. You just don't have the time. The schedule doesn't allow you now. So, and that's really challenging. 2 years ago, that was kind of a wow moment for high school coaches because they realized the college coaches weren't coming around as much because they had to be so much more targeted on what they were doing in spring versus what they've done in the past. So yeah, long story short, there's just a lot of strategy in this. It's changed over time, but we're in a good position right now because we already have a ton of commitments locked up right now, and it's just about keeping those guys locked up, getting them on the OVs, and then getting the other top guys on OVs.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're up against the break. When we come back, I've got multiple questions for you about this evaluation period. What constitutes an evaluation? Yeah. How this works when you brought up an interesting point about, you go to Harrisburg and you try to hit as many schools and coaches as possible, and how important that is. We're going to talk about that, Mike, when we come back.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. Quarter number two of our show, I'm Jim Galante. He's Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of Happy Valley United. And Mike, we didn't talk about going down this path, but you explained a bit as we finished up segment number one about the schedule right now, and there's a lot of strategy to it. And between segments, you said to me, gee, Jim, this is sort of like going in the weeds a bit. Is it kind of nerdy? And actually, I'm fascinated by it because these are the things I don't think we as fans, we read about, hear about, or understand. So if you don't mind, I want to drill into this a little bit more. Now, you talked about, I forget the word you use, that there's so many of these visits you're allowed. What constitutes one? Is it, if you go to a high school to see player A and some player B shows up and you say hello Is that now two visits because you are two encounters because there were two players there? And well, let's start with that. You know, what constitutes one of these? Would you say there may be like 144 or so of these encounters that you could have? What constitutes one?
Well, if you visit the kid, like, say, now you can do off-campus visits, meaning like you can go take a home visit during the spring now, and you're seeing that like on the social media, so they, like, you know, they like to post those pictures. That will constitute as an evaluation for that entire school, right? So if you go to the school, same thing. So that's one evaluation, and so you visiting a school constitute as an evaluation for every kid in that school. Okay. And it gets really tricky when you start going to like down south. There's a lot of these jamborees. You know, you have all these teams coming together. You might have like six teams one day, and they're all scrimmaging each other, right? From a compliance standpoint, that's a nightmare. And then you have all these combines now that the schools do, which is a really, really good thing for coaches. But of course, compliance made it a bad thing because of the rules, right? So I think they got that squared away where, you know, instead of a coach having to go to an area and go to eight different schools to see somebody, these coaches are getting together and then doing like one day at a school and doing like combine stuff and stuff like that and workouts. That's tricky from a compliance standpoint because then an evaluation will count for like all of them or whatnot. And you gotta be careful then, because if one of your main schools in your main areas is having a day, you have to submit that day, and that day is gonna be like, you have to work around that. But then what if you have like a couple schools in the same day? There's just a lot of coordination and communication that happens with this stuff. And like I was telling you in the break, you know, this used to be like really fun for me because this is just like just a huge like plan, right? Like knowing where everybody's at, dealing with the privates. The head coaches can't go out right now. So really they like, especially with Coach Campbell right now, being this is his first cycle or first year, he's going to get hammered with all these like media obligations, you know, shaking hands type of events. This is where you see all the coaches tours and they're out and about. People used to hate this time, the coaches, or if you're in the office, because head coaches get bored and they well, not bored, but they're in the office and they just kind of, it goes, I think they get kind of like crazy because they're in the office, but everybody else is working, you know, and they're on the road. So it's a really cool time. I would always just every day, every morning, I come into work and it's just, I'm at my command station and I'm just taking calls all day. And more of it wasn't even more like, it got to a point for me where I wasn't even really so much talking about the evaluation part of recruitment. It was more just all the logistics and making sure that everything was going to go smooth, so that recruitment of that coach and that interaction was going to go smooth and it was good, right? But and that's kind of like part of the game that I liked, but I didn't like because I loved the evaluation part.
Yeah. Well, did you say this is a period where it's just the assistant coach could go out, but the head coach cannot?
Yeah, so the head coach has never been able to go out in the spring. Something messed it up and they just changed this, but they changed it so that the head coach can do official visits home visits during January. So that January period is huge. That is huge for head coaches. Because they're not going to see that kid. They're not going to get in that house again, because that's the only time they're going to have a home visit with those guys, because they're not going to be able to do it in the fall. And then they turn that 2-week period in December to a dead period. That used to be the grind where it's all the private jets and it is a grind every single day for 2 weeks. Similar to this, but this is more laid back, right? Because you don't have a season. You know, everybody's nobody lost anything. This is a good time to be out on the road for the coaches, but it's a grind.
It's fascinating to me, and I'm not going to go into, maybe it's a conversation for another day, what the idea was by allowing assistant coaches out, not the head coach. maybe somewhere they thought, okay, head coaches need a break and this is the way to do it. But I'm still stuck on like these evaluations. So if you go to a place where there's a jamboree or whatever, where there's multiple schools, so if there's five schools there, that counts as five evaluations because you're there with five different schools. But is there somebody who's auditing this? Is that an internal audit? So the Penn State football staff has to track, keep a record of this. And then if the NCAA wants to monitor, they call Penn State and say, hey, show us your paperwork that tells us how many evaluations you did. Is that how this works?
Yeah, it's changed through the years. Everybody does it a little bit differently, but you do. You have to have communication with compliance, and a lot of times that communication kind of ran through the GM's position or the DPP or whoever's ahead of recruitment. And it's tough because you have 10 different coaches on the road, right? 10 completely different personalities on the road, and you try to insert a system that everybody can use and you can be efficient while everybody's still not in the office. So what we ended up doing, which was pretty good through the years that I did this, was there was just a Google form that these guys would have every night and basically every day. So after they visit a school, they go on that form and they just fill in the information for that school. And it would say what school he was at, the coach, and then he'd put it in his notes. So then I would get that in the morning, and I would have a team, a recruiting team, where I'd have them help me stay on top of these coaches because there's always two or three that you just have to – it's like pulling teeth. But then in the morning, I would pull all that information together and then spit out a report for each day. So then the entire staff would then take those notes – and then a recruiting staff and anybody that was in office would take those notes and then just follow up with whatever those position coaches had to say that day. And also it was really nice for the head coach to be able to see that. So then the head coach would get those notes. And then if he wanted to say something in a group text or a group meet or whatever about that previous day, then he can take that and he's in the know. So that was a good way. I don't know if anybody's doing that still, but that was a pretty solid way. That I found that was really efficient with them. So yeah, that's how I did it. It did work. It worked out well, but you just have to be on top of everybody.
You know what's funny, Mike, is in doing this job, as you know, and I think most of our listeners know, I was in the corporate world for many, many years and have just kind of entered this world a few years ago. And I constantly, when I hear of things, I want to compare it to, you know, what I know, what I've been through in the corporate world. And that explanation, what you just handled, there is such symmetry or analogy to in the corporate world. There's certain guys, you get these reports together. It goes to the manager who oversees the group. You might have staff that's traveling to see clients and so on. Someone's responsible for accumulating the notes. And there's always the guy or two, you got to dog them every day to get that information back from them. So I'm telling you, a lot of the listeners are like not in their head right now going, yep, I had to deal with that guy also, Mike.
Yeah. And another thing too, this is kind of a little bit different, but same subject, is like usually a lot of schools, a lot of recruiting departments, they have these groups. We used to call them pods. And so it would be, you know, quarterback coach Jake Waters. He has a team of interns that are evaluation interns. He has a team of, and I say team, maybe one or two, three guys, of his, like his assistant coach, right? His GA, his quality control coach, all those guys are usually in a group text or some form of communication. So then they can all talk amongst themselves and make sure they're on the same page too. So it would really kind of start from like 30,000 feet we'd send the reports, the overall report for each day, and then those pods would then talk amongst each other about the report and what's going on and make sure they're on top of everything. And that's huge, right? Because there's a lot of changes that happen when they're on the road, because then he might call, Coach Waters might call and say, hey, we just offered this quarterback from Florida or something. I got to go see him or something like that. So then they got to change the original schedule. And that could be trickier, because if you have to make an adjustment like that, you're not seeing somebody that is expecting to see you. And so when you tell a high school coach that Penn State's coming, that's a big deal to them, right? So you got to be careful about that. But my point is, like, however it's structured in every program, the communication is huge, like you said, for the corporate standard. It's huge. And I think we have a really good team here, a good staff, that these guys talk well, they communicate well, they evaluate well. So I think we're going to come out of the spring recruitment in a good place, because we already got a ton of momentum going into it, right? With these all the commitments already. So this is only just another layer that can help strengthen that momentum.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mike, as we shift gears here to the next segment, we're going to talk some specific names, because it was another good week of recruiting, several commits. We're going to talk to Mike about them when we come back.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform, providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I'm Jim Galante. He's Mike Villagrana, quarter three of our show. And we spent the intermediate time between segments. I got to regale Mike with Berwick football stories. So hopefully I didn't bore him too much with that.
Always learn something new.
Well, Mike and I, in our conversations, Mike's from Youngstown. We've decided Youngstown and Berwick are very similar. They produce the same kind of guys.
That's a good thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good thing. That's a compliment. So
yeah.
Despite what some people might say about both Youngstown and Berwick. Anyway.
That's true, yeah.
Well, there's a lot of pride there, both of us in our hometowns. Mike, I promised we would talk about recruiting and talk about some individuals. Before we get into some of the names, some of these guys who have committed, some good players in the last week or so, let's just talk about the big recruiting picture. You talked about it a little bit. Coach Matt Campbell talks about going slow and steady, slow and get it right, not fast and long. But I tell you what, for the last 5 or 6 weeks on the recruiting front, he's been going 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, it's just all the everything's falling in place with their approach, right? They stayed steady with what they believe. They came in. They had a plan. Derek Hoosier, who Coach Campbell is his first hire, came in, and they had a good plan. And they had a good – I was telling somebody about the staff, the front office staff, the recruiting staff. I said it's really good. It's really well-rounded. And then they complement – it's really the coaches and the front office guys, they really complement each other really well. You can tell they're really working with each other. And then all of the other support staff is really good, like the whole entire strength and conditioning staff, the player development staff that you met. It's just really cool to see it coming together. And what's really neat about this too is, like, you know, the recruiting industry has our class right now up there, ranked up there, top 10, top 5, I think. And And what's scary is, like, this is the phase, and I talk about this a lot, this is the phase where a lot of these guys will end up being much rated higher, much higher, once a lot of the recruiting industry kind of catches up to the evaluation of these guys and really gets to sink into every single one of them. So I think a lot of these guys that we have that are the three-star guys will end up being four-star, five-star guys at the end of the day. Because it's funny, it's just funny how the game works, how that game works, right? You have Stanley Montgomery, who committed this past week. And if you look at it, I think on 247, they have him like a four-star, the 65th national-ranked player in the country. Like, that's big. That's big time, right? But think about February when I saw him. The first time I saw him and his dad came up, we did an interview. It's on HU Insider. He had just decommitted from Syracuse, right? Or he was going to. And I think at that time, he wasn't, like, rated high at all. I think he was a low three-star or something like that. And now, like, in 3 months, what happened? How does he become a four-star and one of the top 100 player just like that, right? That's how, like,
during the offseason, and he hasn't played a game in this time.
Yeah, hasn't played a game. But, you know, he decommitted. These guys are still developing, remember? Remember, we were just talking about the NFL draft. There's no, like, perfect science, and those guys are still developing. Hell, these 16-year-old kids are still developing. So when I saw him, he looks like a big dude. They list him at 6'3", maybe on a good day. He's all of that. But, yeah, I just think this class is already ranked up there. I only think it's going to get better. You know, obviously, we have to keep these guys. Recruiting is not like baseball where a kid commits and nobody else tries to get them to flip, which I wish that was a case. But, yeah, so it's going to be fun. This class, through from top down, like, I like all of these guys. I think the staff is recruiting and taking guys that are fits for them. Scheme, character, all of that. And they're good players too, man. Like, it doesn't matter. I don't think it matters where they're from. They could be from Hawaii, you know? Like, it doesn't matter. They're going to recruit good players. And if they're a good fit and there's mutual interest there, they're going to go attack it.
Well, let's go through some of the players, and because I want to hear your evaluation of them. Now, first of all, the total number is there's 14 commits right now. All of them came within like the last 5 weeks or so. And I know there was a point where it's like, oh, they can't even bring in one four-star. Well, there's now four of them that are four-stars. And I was looking at one service where it looks like by their evaluation where you got to be a 90 for four stars. And it looked like three or four guys are like at 89 or 88, like, yeah, on the cusp of it. So, you know, definitely a lot of talent coming in. Let's talk about some of the individuals, Mike. Let's start with who you just mentioned, Stanley Montgomery. I have him listed at 6'3", 300 pounds. Defensive lineman, as you said, he is now a four-star and a Philly kid. It's always good to get PA and Philly kids and recruit well there. What can you tell us about Stanley Montgomery?
Yeah, always, right? That's key. I think there was maybe some concern that there would maybe be a potential drop-off there in that area just because of the departures that we had. You know, our guy that went to South Carolina, like, he did, he, you know, he's a Philly guy and had his, you know, his ties in there. So really good to see that the staff is just picking up where we left off in that area and doing a really good job with Stanley Montgomery. That was an early evaluation, in my opinion, because they saw him, you know, when he was just committed to Syracuse and he was just a three-star, but that didn't sway them on the recruitment. They trusted their evaluation, and it's proven to look like it worked. Four-star, like you said, top 100 player in the country. So that's really good. But honestly, like, if I ranked these guys, how I kind of see him, he'd be up there. But I like a lot of these guys. But like the kid that you may be bringing him up here pretty soon, but Ryan Robbins was a huge gift for us. And I know right now he's only a 3-star on at least 247 has him as a 3-star. This dude, he was a huge gift for us. Legitimately, we beat out Indiana and Ohio State. And I know that for a fact. So for us to get to the finish line with him was huge. But yeah, him, you know, him being another PA kid, keeping him home, but also really talented. But also really talented, like from the standpoint, like he's going to be a guy that will be a 4-star if I had a bet, a 4 or 5-star when it's all said and done. Jameer Dean is a 30-star Alcoa wide receiver. When I was at Virginia Tech, we recruited this area a lot. This school produces dudes. I think we took a kid out of there, a wide receiver, and he's actually contributing with them right now. But yeah, this Jameer Dean is a stud. So he's a big one. I could see him end up being a 4-star, player when it's all said and done. I've talked about Blake Benton a lot. I think he's a guy that will definitely be a 4-star. And a lot of this is going to be dependent on their film, too, is really kind of how these recruiting services work, I think. You know, they take in factor, you know, the senior stuff, they take in factor. I think that they just did a new release, an updated release.
Yeah.
And then I think they'll do another one like in the middle of the season, right? Or something like that. So
I think also after some of the camps, in fact, that some of these services hold, you know, gives them a better chance to reevaluate, and they could do numbers on them. Gee, this kid, he ran 4.6 last year, and now he runs a 4.5. So
right.
They get another star.
Something is really cool. I was talking to an alumni about this. Is just the different approaches from a head coach. The head coach, Coach Franklin was, very, very visible on social media, right? And use that to leverage recruiting. All right. But Coach Campbell isn't like that. And it's just different, but it's working for Coach Campbell. It's just to show you, like, there's so many ways to run a recruiting department, your recruiting philosophies, as long as like you trust your process, right? And you stick to it, like it should work out. It's when you let other things kind of sway you from what you really truly believe in. That will get you caught up. So I think that's really neat that, we have a top 5 class and it hasn't been a lot of like social media stuff on it. Right.
Right.
It's just different, but also just really cool just to see the different types of recruiting and how both can work.
Well, I also, it must be so difficult if you think about the number of high school players that are out there and need to be evaluated. I know some people who cover high school football, like down in the Harrisburg area and all that, and they saw Micah Parsons play in high school. And their comment is, you don't have to be an experienced talent evaluator. These guys were like 5-stars. Everybody in the world knows how good they are. That's easy. It's the next 1,000 kids. And there may not be much difference between the kid who's evaluated as, a high 4-star and the hundreds and maybe thousands of kids who are 3-stars, because how could you possibly get a good feel on that many different players?
Yeah, it's tough. What's tough about them is the rankings and everything really is kind of based off of sophomore film, right? They're junior film. Sorry, it's really based on the junior film. And to me, like, these guys are still developing like big time. Like there can be such significant gains in your skill set, in your speed, your physicalness, your body comp from your junior to senior year, right? So that's huge, and that's why you see a lot of these guys, like Micah always has looked like Micah from a freshman, right? But you might see a Blake Benton who plays safety on film and is like 200 pounds. But then he goes senior year, he's like 230. And
it's a different player.
Oh, crap. This is the guy.
Yeah. We're going to talk more about these recruits right after this break.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel. The first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Mike. I'm Jim. We're talking Penn State football. We're specifically talking about recruiting. And Mike, I want to drill down a little bit more on some of these players that you mentioned who were recent commits. Let's start with Jameer Dean. He's a wide receiver from Tennessee, listed at 6'2", 180. Looks like he's a multi-sport guy, has done a lot of different sports, sounds very athletic. Give us the scouting report on him.
Yes, super athletic, high ceiling, speed shows up on film. And the multi-sport athlete and successful in all of these sports. I think they won two state championships in basketball, two state championships in football. And you got to also consider that this is really good football. This area, they play really good football. It's coached up really well, highly competitive. So for what he's doing, putting on tape and still looking that fast and athletic says a lot in this area. So huge get. By the staff, early evaluation, which is great to see, like a lot of these commitments. But three-star now in the recruiting industry, but could definitely see this guy being a high four-star type of guy when it's all said and done. But, yeah, big-time athlete to get out of that area, you know, in a room that we wanted to upgrade athletically. So, good. It's a really good one.
You know, Mike, I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth here. Earlier, I talked about, you know, great to get the Pennsylvania kids, you know, the primary area. But then when I see a guy come from Tennessee, not a lot of Tennessee high school football players end up at Penn State. I also say, hey, that's great that this staff is willing to go into those areas. And I'm not even sure it's a question of willing, but they're able to bring in players from these areas that are non-traditional Penn State areas.
Yeah, and to me, Tennessee should be an area that we consistently hit. Since I've been doing this thing, I've had to recruit that state a lot, and so I'm familiar with it, and it's a great state to recruit. You know, the Memphis area, you have the Nashville area, then you have the Chattanooga area. I don't think it's that far. And a lot of these kids that I've been around in some of these areas, they're Penn State kids. A lot of them are like blue collar, tough kids, and it's good football. So it's not that far. So it's smart for us to really have our claws in Tennessee. But I mean, how many South Dakota kids have come here? We got Big Coop coming all the way from South Dakota. But we mentioned it maybe on the first segment. It's really cool to see that this staff, they're trusting their evaluations no matter where they're from. And if there's mutual interest, they're going to attack it. Basically, the old saying, shoot your shot, right? Yeah. So it doesn't matter where they're at.
And it still means something if you're a Penn State coach and you show up at a school. And I'm not saying that's exclusive to Penn State, but there's something about when a blue blood, when an Ohio State, when an Alabama, when a Georgia, when a Michigan, when these schools show up at a high school, people pay attention no matter where they're from.
Yeah, it's a big deal when you get a blue blood coming through the school, especially if it's a school that isn't traditionally have coaches come through there. So yeah. it's it's really exciting for the entire school, especially because there's usually somebody in that school that is tied to that blue blood, right? Whether it's a supervisor, or a superintendent, a principal, a teacher, a custodian, it can be a really big deal to some of those schools. But yeah.
Well, it's kind of like what Chris and I were talking about with one of the players at our event last week. You have a Penn State degree. Even if you're not a football player, no matter where you go, if you're wearing your Penn State gear, people react to it, and you'll see more Penn Staters there, especially up and down the East Coast.
That's a funny thing about this time period too, right? It's because I mentioned in the second segment about how it's more centralized, this spring period, and more focused, right? So all those top guys are having all the blue bloods go to them.
Yeah.
So it's not like we're going in there, we're going to, you know, see Duquesne or Villanova or something like that, right? We're going in, we're going to go in there, we're going to see Alabama, we're going to see Indiana, we're going to see Ohio State at these same kids, right?
Right.
So that's how it is right now. But it's funny on the road how these guys interact when they see each other. It's a whole nother world when you're on the road. Some coaches are really good at it. Some coaches are able to maneuver it and make it really efficient. This is a big deal when you get the Penn State logo coming through the high school.
I'm sure it is. All right, let's hit a couple of these other names that you mentioned, like Ryan Robbins. You mentioned him. He's out of Upper St. Clair. Love seeing the offensive lineman. He's a tackle. I see him listed at 6'6", 270 pounds, Mike. Big boy.
Yeah, this kid has a chance to be really special, especially with his measurables right now. Remember what I said? I always harp on this point, is that the offensive line and defensive linemen are the last people to develop, right? So it's even that much harder to really kind of project these type of players. But him, with his measurables, his athleticism, and his footwork, and the school that he's coming from, Upper St. Clair, Pennsylvania, this kid's going to be a stud. We beat out Indiana and Ohio State for this kid. I know he's a 3-star now. If I had a bet, he'll probably be a 4-star, high 4-star when it's all said and done. But really like this kid. And I know Tebow was recruiting him at Ohio State. And for people who remember Tebow or Bowen, was the Titans coach. Yeah. So, and I know Bowen, and people here know he's a heck of a recruiter. So that I didn't think a couple weeks ago we were going to be in it from what I was hearing. But for the staff to make it work is awesome, because he's an in-state Penn State kid, right? Or or Pennsylvania kid. You don't want to see him go to Ohio State or go to Notre Dame or Indiana, right? So huge win for us, man, on this guy. Really, really excited about him.
Well, that's always great to be out teams like that. And I've seen, you know, many, I'm not the first one to say this, but look at the offers more than the stars. That will tell you more of what you need to know.
If you look at that in their visits, right?
Right.
So where they visit, that's going to tell you like what's real right now, because this thing's fast, right? They need it. Like, a lot of these guys are figuring out where they're going to go, especially the quarterback position, that recruitment's, they're trying to find a home now. When you look at where they visited, that's kind of a tell of like who's the real
who's legitimate.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned quarterback. I do want to hit on something there. Now, we know Peter Bork is still out there, highly regarded quarterback. You and I have talked about him. We've seen a lot written about him. Another quarterback has come out as another prospect Penn State is looking at seriously. His name is William Wood, 6'2", 220 out of Massachusetts. 6'2", 220. That's a pretty healthy guy right there. What can you tell us about William Wood?
Yeah, to me, he's a little bit of an underrated player, especially at this position. Because with the quarterback position, you're able to see these guys. They're at a million camps. They're visible. And after you look at his film, it's easy to see that this guy can spin it. He's up there with the special arm talent in this class. with the best of them. So really good, smart evaluation. This recruitment at quarterback, it's really like you really kind of get to see the business of this thing happen, right? Like, you know, Mensel goes to Oregon. Okay, so that locks up a spot there. So that makes everybody else that is still out there kind of adjust what they're thinking. Okay, so Peter Bohr, he visits us. He's still making his decision. He goes to Virginia Tech. He's still making his decision. And I'm sure there's a lot of behind-the-scenes things going on. So based off of some of these decisions that we're hearing or some trends, the staff felt like they needed to get a couple, maybe a couple more offers in this class just to make sure that there's depth at the position, true depth. And this is a great guy. It's kind of like the running back room that I was talking about. It was so deep. Like, there's five guys that we legitimately can get, and they're all really good. You shake them up, I'd be happy with all five of them. That's like this right here. Another thing, too, that I put on the message boards about the quarterback position, how it's changed now. Like, if we missed out on a quarterback and you don't – and I think I talked about this last week, it's okay because you have the portal, and that position is such a premium position. But you got to let the season play out, see if you do get one of these quarterbacks, and you also got to see how the other guys on the roster are developing. People forget there's other quarterbacks on the roster.
Yeah. Well, I've become very quickly a William Wood fan for this one reason. I read a quote from him. Apparently he was interviewed, you know, about his three-star status. And he said, essentially, he goes, my goal is not to be a four-star, but to be a winner. However, he admits that he's a little pissed that he's rated as a three-star. And I kind of just like that attitude of a guy who has a little bit of a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, quarterback, like the quarterback, they have so many check boxes, right, that you want to check off that, and that their makeup, you know, the Mendoza type of attitude, like you want to see humility, team first, you want to see some chip on your shoulder, they got some crap to them, you know, like. That's big, and he does have that based off of everything that I've heard. But yeah, the Northeast, man, like they've been pumping out quarterbacks. Like they always have quarterbacks in the Northeast, always.
Also to point out with this William Wood, apparently the two teams that he's most interested in right now are Penn State and our old friend Bill O'Brien in BC. Where he's out of Massachusetts, so he's 20 minutes away from BC, apparently.
Yeah, and that could work against you, too. Like, I think, like, if they're too close, they want to get away.
Yeah.
You know? Like, to me, that's too close. We had, in Blacksburg, we had, like, two, three big-time recruits that were just down the road, and it ended up, you know, you hear so many different things, why this, why that, but
yeah.
A lot of it, like, they wanted to get away or get away from that area.
Just like okay, a typical.
Yeah, I think if the staff truly wants Will, I think they'll get him.
All right, let's make that the final word, that positive note there. Mike, as always, thanks for all the insight, and it went really fast. Thank all of you for tuning in. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel. The first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.